Ukraine security issue.
In the morning of June the 26th, the 123rd day of Ukraine's heroic resistance to the Russian invasion, dozens of Russian cruise missiles targeted the capital city, Kyiv. Almost all of them were shot down by the air defense, but one struck the roof of a high-rise apartment building and damaged a kindergarten. Several upper floors of the building turned into splinters and debris, and it took firefighters several hours to extinguish the fire caused by the powerful explosion. Rescuers recovered a 7-year-old girl and her mother from the rubble. The woman was jammed by concrete slabs. She turned out to be a Russian citizen. The girl's father died. As of 8 p.m. Sunday, the search and rescue operation continued. The authorities confirmed one fatality and 6 injured persons. All the survivors were promptly evacuated. One of them, Прохір Мусін, described the experience as a shock. At 6:20, when we heard the first explosion, we all ran out of the apartment. Then, in 15 or 20 minutes, there were 2 more explosions, and then another one. It was very scary. The building was shaking and it was hard to breathe. Only several apartments were intact. Mine and some of my neighbors, said Прохір Мусін. The Russian missile also damaged a nearby kindergarten, leaving a 7-meter-wide crater in the place of the playground. Fortunately, there were no casualties, just because it was a day off. The world immediately reacted to the cynical missile attack on Kyiv's residential area. Carl Bildt, co-chair of the European Council of Foreign Relations, called it nothing more than a deliberate Russian attempt to escalate the situation and a signal to the Sunday meeting of the G7 leaders. Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba called on the world community to respond to Russia's actions and on the G7 leaders to supply Ukraine with heavy weapons and toughen sanctions against Russia. On Sunday, air raid alarm sirens sounded in almost all regions of Ukraine. Soon after the morning missile attack, explosions were heard in Kyiv again, and in the afternoon, Russian cruise missiles hit Cherkasy. A number of civilians were reported to have been killed and injured in the Rivne region. Throughout Sunday, the Russians kept shelling Kharkiv as well as towns and villages in the Chernihiv and Sumy regions located near the Russian border. On Sunday morning, a Russian cruise missile was spotted flying at a critically lower altitude over the South Ukrainian nuclear power plant in Energodar, Zaporizhia region. The slightest damage to one of the reactors could have caused catastrophic consequences of a terrible nuclear disaster, the national power generating company Energoatom said in a press release. The Donbas remains the epicenter of fighting. Having taken full control of Severodonetsk, the Russian forces are trying to capture neighboring Lysychansk, the last remaining Kyiv-controlled city in the Luhansk region. Sergei Haidai, head of the Luhansk region military administration, said the city was constantly and intensively shelled and bombed. Russian shells and bombs have seriously damaged a bridge and almost all the city's industrial facilities. They have also hit apartment buildings and private houses, Haidai said. On the south axis, Ukrainian counterattacks in the occupied Kherson region are increasingly backed by a massive partisan movement. Having thrown the invaders out of dozens of villages, the Ukrainian forces are slowly but steadily advancing toward Kherson. The Ukrainian intelligence forecasts visible signs of the region's deoccupation in early August. Among the factors facilitating Ukraine's counteroffensive, Vladislav Nazarov, spokesman for the South Operative Command, notes the Russian soldiers' very low morale.
Ворог втрачає позиції і не знаходить мотивації для ведення наступальних дій.
The enemy troops are losing their positions and motivation to attack. They are demoralized and are only looking for ways to get back home. After Russian soldiers retreat from their positions, they don't build fortifications or dig trenches. They dig 2-foot pits and then lie there on their backs with raised legs, waiting to be lightly wounded, said Vladislav Nazarov. Saturday and Sunday saw mass public actions worldwide in support of the heroic defenders of Mariupol held by Russians. According to Yulia Levchenko, the organizer one of such actions, rallies took place in 41 cities of Turkey, the UK, Poland, the Czech Republic, Sweden, Norway, Georgia, Latvia, Bulgaria, Australia, the United States and other countries. Our goal is not to let Russia put the Mariupol heroes on trial. They must be freed. We have appealed to international organizations to help us find out the conditions of their imprisonment. They are prisoners of war and must be treated according to the Geneva Convention. Unfortunately, we still don't know the conditions they are held in. All we know is there are more than 2,500 of them. We wanted to remind the world about them once again, said Yulia Levchenko. The heroes defended Mariupol for more than 80 days. In the final weeks, trapped in the bunkers of the Azovstal steelworks without water, food and medicines, they held the last line of defense until they ran out of ammunition and got an order to leave. On the May 16th, the first hundreds of the defenders were evacuated, and the rest within the next several days, but not safety. Now they are pending an illegal Russian trial.